All right, turn the page and look at Philemon. And unless something really strikes me, I don't want to leave the wrong impression, because Philemon is part of the Bible too. But as far as having, at least anything that we haven't covered so far pretty carefully, as far as having deep doctrinal content, Philemon is not like Ephesians at all. You know, it's not like Colossians at all. So the question I want you to ask yourself, and we're going to go through this pretty quickly. Question out there I want to ask you is, I mean, we've been through now. Titus didn't take very long for us to get through, about a month, I suppose. But you know, we were in 1 Timothy for, I don't know how long. We were probably in 1 Timothy for 6 months. We were probably in 2 Timothy for 3 months. Takes forever to get through Matthew or Revelation. So we're going to cover Philemon in one Sunday. In fact, the last 15 minutes of one Sunday. And maybe I'm just a bad teacher, and maybe you find a lot more deep things in here than me. But the question I have to ask you is that if that's the case, I mean, that it takes us so long in some of these other books, because we want to cover everything, and it's just good stuff, right? Tastes good. Why is Philemon in the Bible? What's the purpose of Philemon? Verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Basic greeting, there are doctrinal things in there. We've covered those things over and over again, and all the rest of the greetings that Paul's written to other folks and other places. Notice in verse 2 that Philemon has a church in his house. It lends itself to the comment that, when you read about the church at Galatia or the church at Thessalonica or someplace like that, you shouldn't always be thinking of the idea that there was one big edifice there that was the church at Colossae. A lot of times the church was a collection of smaller bodies in people's houses and stuff. And you say, shouldn't we then go back to that today? Well, we may get driven back to that today, but it's pretty profitable what we're doing here, the way we're doing it. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, kind of a common greeting. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Stop and think about all the people that Paul said that he was always praying for, making mention of always and thinking of always, and you stop to realize, oh, Paul prayed an awful lot. An awful lot. Verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, both love and faith, both toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The communication of thy faith. Not just talking about his faith, but the living out of his faith. That it may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's an awful lot like the Ephesians sermon last week. Verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, so far, nothing really very deep here, right? I mean, you're not hitting something that would lead you off into eternal security or the whole issue of tongues and signs and all this stuff. You know, just a guy greeting a friend and a fellow laborer in Christ that he loves, right? You might get hung up, and it's a point again to point out that in our day, we don't talk about our bowels being refreshed by the brother. It's too bad that that words have deteriorated somewhat. We don't use that kind of language anymore, but the bowels is... with them is, but he's talking about his heart. You know, I'm encouraged. My heart is refreshed by you. Talks about these bowels three times in this chapter. Verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. What did he just say? He just said in a very subtle form, I got something to talk to you about. I got something to ask you. Verse 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. He said, I could be really bold to tell you what I think you should do, but for love's sake, I'm going to ask you. He said, it could be more powerful than asking. After all, I'm Paul the aged, I'm Paul the apostle of the Gentiles, and I'm in prison, and I could pretty much demand that you respect my wishes, but yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. I'm going to beg you. Being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm in prison, I'm old, but don't worry about it. I'm just going to ask you to do this thing. He's reminding Philemon of his position, even though he's being nice about it. Verse 10, I beseech thee, and this is the deal, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. The reason for the letter is he's writing this guy about this other guy, Onesimus. And it turns out, by the time you read the rest of the chapter, it becomes pretty plain that Onesimus is a servant, a bond slave, if you would, of Philemon, and evidently had run off, something like that. Verse 10, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He's saying, I was in jail, and evidently he was in jail too, and I led him to the Lord. Which, talking about Onesimus, in time past was to thee unprofitable. Now, again, the hints keep coming that this guy was essentially a slave, a servant to Philemon, and that whatever's the case, nobody knows the complete story. But this guy winds up, away from his master and was unprofitable to his master. So he either just ran away or else maybe he stole something. But now, profitable to thee and to me. He's saying, this guy maybe ran away, maybe he stole something of yours. He was unprofitable to you, but I assure you, Philemon, I assure you that Onesimus is now profitable to thee and to me. And Philemon's sitting here reading going, tell me more. Maybe skeptical, right? Whom I have sent again. So, Paul, I'm not sure. Well, Paul sent a runaway slave back. Think about it. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is, mine own bowels. He's saying, I'm sending him back to you. And I want you to receive him. And now when you receive him, don't just take him back grudgingly. He said, because when you're receiving him, you're receiving my own wishes, my own bowels. Verse 13, whom, talking about Onesimus, I would have retained with me. He said, really, I'd like to have kept him here with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He said, you couldn't be here with me. Really, actually, since I led him to the Lord, I'd like to keep Onesimus here with me. But, verse 14, without thy mind, I wasn't able to talk to you about it. And I knew that you were technically in ownership of him, that he was in bondage to you. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. He said, in other words, I'd really like to have him back with me anyway, but I didn't want to keep him and presume anything, because I knew if I asked you, you'd probably let me have him. So I'm sending him back to you so that if you wanted to send him back to me, that's fine, but I want it to be a willing on your part, not of necessity. Verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldst receive him forever. Now again, you're talking about the runaway property, essentially, of this guy. And Paul is really putting on the schmooze on this thing, saying, hey, for all you know, he departed for a season so that you can receive him forever. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And you'll be reminded, you know, all the times that we've studied through the entire servanthood bondage issue and that sort of thing. The fact is that Christ coming and dying for our sins didn't in and of itself disintegrate the idea of bond service. Okay? Now, we don't have it in this country anymore, but I'm just telling you that throughout the New Testament, that where slavery, bond service was in place, the Lord did not sever those bonds. He gave masters directions on how to treat their slaves, gave slaves directions on how they should respond and respect their masters. Well, verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. I mean, Paul is putting on the thing real big here. He said, this is my son in the faith. I led him to the Lord. I love him. Now, when you receive him back, you receive him as me. All right. That's what this letter's about. You know, so far, there's no huge doctrinal thing that we haven't found in somewhere else. I mean, you could maybe break off and do some various things. But if there is a lesson, I mean, you got to admit, reading through Philemon, I mean, do you look forward to reading Philemon? Oh, you're not reading your Bible? Okay. When you read your Bible, presumably, if you read your Bible, would you really be looking forward to reading Philemon? I mean, yeah, it's short. Yeah, it's short. Well, Jude's short, but we spent what? We spent 6 or 8 weeks, I think, in Jude when we went through Jude. Something like that. I mean, you read through Philemon, and it's kind of like, that was a dud. I mean, it's not like the rest of the New Testament books at all. I mean, just packed full of ammo, you know. Why is Philemon written? Best I can tell, I mean, brother, you got to remember now, there were lots of other books. Let's see, how am I going to phrase this? There are a lot of men that spoke by the Spirit of God and wrote by the Spirit of God. I mean, we can find examples in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of epistles and books that Paul wrote, that the Old Testament prophets wrote, that didn't make it into the Bible. Okay? We have everything we need. God just specifically intended that there would be, you know, some that made it in and some that didn't. And one of the 66 books was Philemon. And like I said, you look at it and go, yeah, it's kind of shallow. What are you supposed to learn from Philemon? Brother, if there's something to learn from Philemon, what you have to come away with is that here, Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, wins a slave of another guy to the Lord, writes the guy back, takes up the guy's cause, pleads with the guy to take him back. If you don't take him back, send him to me. I love him, but please take him back and receive him like you would receive me myself. I mean, he went about as far down the road to putting himself on the line for this guy as anybody could. Now, if you hadn't been here for 6 months, you won't remember this. But remember Barnabas, the Barnabas thing? Remember that Barnabas in the New Testament, he's the one that rescued Paul after Paul gets sent away, you know, by the apostles. There, he's too controversial a figure. He gets sent away. Barnabas goes up to Antioch, sees an opportunity for this guy that got set on a shelf by the rest of the apostles to be helped. Goes and secures Paul, brings him back to Antioch. Before it's all over with, Paul and Barnabas wind up on a missionary journey, go win a whole ton of people to the Lord and all those things. Remember, you know, the whole issue of where would Paul be, at least humanistically speaking, without Barnabas, right? And then eventually, over another guy, John Mark, that Barnabas had put under his wing and took care of, Paul and Barnabas had this personal split over the issue of this guy. Paul says, he ain't going with us. He departed from us back when we were on that last missionary journey. He is not going with us. And Barnabas says, he is going with us too. He is, he is. He's not, he's not, he is, he is, he's not, not. And they broke off. And Barnabas took John Mark, and Paul went and teamed up with Silas, and now you got two missionary teams instead, right? Well, the idea being that, you know, Barnabas always had somebody under his wing, was always trying to help somebody. Eventually, Paul called for John Mark to be brought back to him because now he's profitable. All right? Now, the backside of that is now Paul learned some lessons because now Paul is doing that very thing to Onesimus. To this guy, I mean, who? He's just a slave. Okay, yeah, you know, I won you to the Lord and all. Now you're going to go back and face the music, you know. I wish I could write a letter, but, you know, not my business. Go take your whipping, boy. And he didn't. He said, listen, Philemon, this man's a good man. I'll take him. I'll take him on the spot. I'll take him now. I couldn't keep him because without knowing your will, I wouldn't want you to send him to me because you felt compelled to send him to me. But I'll tell you this, I love the guy, and if you receive him, you receive him as if you receive me. That's what you learn out of Philemon. Now, Paul was not a cold fish when it came to people. Verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on mine account. Does that remind you of another story in the Bible? Good Samaritan. Remember that? Good Samaritan goes and picks up the guy that got whipped up on and beaten by thieves and everyone. And puts him in essentially a motel and says, take care of him and put it on my account. Verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self. But he says, don't worry. If you, I'll pay. But let me remind you how much you owe me. You know. Verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Verse 7, verse 12, verse 19, 20, refresh my bowels, my bowels, my bowels. Verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul was a pretty good schmoozer in the end. I mean, he's got this friend, he's laying it on him pretty hard. He strong arms him a little bit and says, don't worry, I'll pay it, but you owe me. Don't forget that. But, you know, I have confidence in you and I love you, brother. You know. Verse 22, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That's the fastest book you ever went through at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Any questions or comments? All right, we'll take a break.